of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
When is the administration going to tell the American people the truth about Benghazi?
Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Why aren't we talking about something else?
Democrats are all talk and no action.
Fighting for Idaho.
How about the A-10 platform? There's never been a question in my mind that it's going to go away. The question is when.
We're always going to be ready when the governor calls us up and when the president calls us to go overseas and take care of our nation's wars. We're going to do that too.
Fighting for you.
There's people have an attitude about attorneys already. I have a lot of friends who are attorneys, so my, you know, apologies ahead of time here to my friends who are attorneys out there listening.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Woo!
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, Dave Petzl with us. Kevin Miller in the Morning here, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Dave, we were talking about you off the air. I don't know if your ears were burning, but we've got some big issues to discuss today about money and finance and everything else, so I hope you're ready.
Let me have one more sip of coffee, and then I'm ready for you.
One more sip of coffee? What is this? Do you do that on Channel 7, one more sip of coffee? Hold on, Maggie! I have to get a cup of coffee. When it's go time, it's go time.
It's go time. Well, but usually you kind of give me a softball to start with. So
yes.
Okay.
Well, I resemble a softball, so let's start with this at 580KIDO. We've got this disclosure here from the Washington Times showing our Congressman Labrador offering a potential immigration deal to the White House, saying the GOP would agree to loosen penalties on the illegals if Obama would increase visas for foreigners who work in high-tech fields. Now, we can't even employ our American workers that are in America. There's only one person that is stating this case economically, and that's Senator Sessions of Alabama. Why in the world are we going to flood the market with a bunch of low-end, low-wage workers to disrupt what we have right now that is fragile? And that's being optimistic when we're talking the economy.
I don't think they're flooding. They're already here. Aren't we really talking about those folks that are already here, Kevin, and that we might be able to work out a deal immigration-wise with them versus the as long as they're allowed on the high-tech industry to have more people come in. This has actually been an ongoing battle.
I'm not talking about the high-tech ones right now. I'm talking about the low-wage ones right now.
Right, but they're already here, are they not?
They're not working here legally. They don't pay taxes. They're a drain on our system. Let's be brutally honest.
They are a drain.
You talk to people in education, and Obama last week made it official that you can't deny people because they're here illegally, education.
Right.
The folks that are working in education have been educating illegal aliens and their kids for quite some time.
They have.
And we're paying for that.
And health care.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Emergency services of any kind. I know.
Right.
I know. Are they leaving tomorrow, Kevin? That's my point. They're not going to leave. They're not leaving. So what do we do with them? That's the point of an immigration bill, isn't it? Is to try to find some balance that makes sense for the country going forward. The people are here.
I'm with you.
And I don't think they just make them legal. I agree. Go ahead.
Right. But the issue here is that if all of a sudden you wave a magic wand and let's say Billy, who's been here illegally and has been working under the table, now he can compete against anyone. And he's an instant citizen. Never mind the political ramifications from this. I don't get it. Now, the high-tech thing, I think what you and I are going to agree to disagree, there are a lot of Americans that have these degrees, and we hear this, well, we need to employ people because we've got a nation of dummies. I don't believe that.
Well, I don't believe we have a nation of dummies either, but there are not enough of the high-tech jobs out there, or people to fill those high-tech jobs. Now, we're not talking about can people, Americans, be, you know, have a minor amount of training. But we're talking about engineers putting together microchips, things like that for Micron. Micron, even when they were laying off the 5,000 people, I'm going to say 5-6 years ago, it was a little longer, I think, but somewhere in that range, they still had a help wanted sign out for engineers, even as layoffs were occurring. So it is an ongoing battle, Kevin. It's hard. We just don't have enough of those really intricate high-tech engineering graduates.
I think we do.
Okay.
And we've talked to our experts who have told us that when they come over here on these limited visas,
yes,
they're really, these high-tech workers are more like indentured servants because they don't have the same rights as citizens.
Well, they don't.
Right. So they're pretty much beholden to the company.
But you're saying, you're not saying they should have the same rights as U.S. citizens.
I'm saying that we should exhaust every and all avenue to employ Americans. I think that you go to any other country, their citizens come first. And with respect to people that have come here illegally, look, why have a speed limit then? Why should we pay taxes?
I think you're absolutely right.
Anyway, I digress on the politics. But from an economics point of view, I don't believe that this country is strong enough right now to handle an influx of these people here. Now, Dave, you argue that they're already here.
Yes.
However, you're going to have, I mean, let's face it. Let's say there's a guy making 50, well, the minimum wage is going to go up anyway.
Yeah,
let's say
yeah.
there's a guy making, you know, minimum wage or above minimum wage. You can hire somebody else to come in and all of a sudden take their job for a lot less.
I know. I do think that it will. First of all, if they are legal, if they become legal, become part of the system, then they too would find the minimum wage laws would apply to them as well, would they not?
You would hope.
I would think so. I would think that's part of the reason that people enjoy hiring illegals, because they do not have to pay them nor treat them the same as you would a U.S. citizen. It's off the record. It's off the off the grid.
You are correct. And the businesses that do this here at 580KIDO, let's face it, we subsidize them because they don't pay their health care. They go to the emergency room. They don't pay their taxes for education.
That's right.
I mean, how crazy was it when Bank of America back in the day, when the economy was booming, because I used to work at a place where Bank of America was really big, they had a special mortgage program for people that were here illegally. They would advertise it all the time.
No, there's a whole subculture. The payday loans, all those things wouldn't exist without illegals. They would not exist. Certainly not as many of them anyway. But, Kevin, I think that you know, one of the things that is really done, again, back to the politics of this, that is really done poorly in this country is to have very, very high penalties for people that employ illegals. They're the ones that we are subsidizing more than anything else. And they basically, nobody wants to fill those jobs. You know what? That's just not true.
Yeah.
It's not true. Maybe they don't want to fill them without any benefits, without a decent wage. Perhaps that's what they don't want to fill. But to actually hire them and not have them paying taxes, payroll taxes, things like that, these folks are getting off with, really, in my opinion, they're the ones that are taking advantage of the system.
Dave Petzo with us here, Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, available on Twitter and Facebook at 580KIDO, where we continue on. So let's take a look at the elections. We haven't really talked about the elections much. Are they really going to impact the economy here in the state? Let's say Russ Fulcher beats Butch Otter. Is that going to make a difference?
No, I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so. No. Now, if you're talking local politics, no. We have a fairly conservative state. I think it'll stay that way, obviously. And, you know, if you're talking about nationally, though, does this election matter? You bet it does, Kevin. It matters a lot, especially in my industry, Frank Dodd's, bill that is not even half written yet. It's been, 5 years ago they passed this stupid thing. It's crazy. It's just crazy. It's the bureaucrats have just gone absolutely ballistic with how they write law, and now they just simply make up the administrative rules later. So they just pass a giant framework, and then really the meat of the bill is built by non-elected bureaucrats, administrators.
Right, and that's what we're seeing here, and that's why you're saying that the elections locally, it's just going to be that same par for the course. So if I'm running, if Dave Petzl were running for governor at 580KIDO, what would be your platform as far as the economy? You and I have talked about this for quite some time, getting rid of the chair tax, which I believe the governor did.
The governor did do that, yes.
Right. Yeah. So what other key things, you and I go back and forth on incentives, Netflix, I've just become, I'm late to the adopter stage.
Oh, no, you have to pay the extra dollar then, don't you?
Right, I guess. I've become a big fan of Netflix lately. House of Cards. House of Cards just got a subsidy from the state of Maryland. It went from $7 million to $20 million a year, but they believe that production is worth it. So back to the Petzo for Governor campaign at 580KIDO, what would it take to bring some big businesses here with respect to what you've always told me? You've got to take care of the core assets in the state. You can't just fall in love with somebody from
shiny new.
Right.
You can't, and you have to really encourage existing businesses. I don't know what the state could do, for example, for Micron, but they should also, to that point, we forget about Micron. I interviewed Micron last week. 6,300 local jobs, all high-paying, by the way. All of them are high-paying, right? And the payroll taxes that come into the state, we want to make sure that they're very, very happy and stay here. So I don't know what that specifically would look like with them, but I think that your point of not always running after what's shiny and new. Now, to your point, though, we do have to run after what's shiny and new.
Right, the PETSO for Governor economic platform.
Oh, right, yes. So what's shiny and new?
What would you do?
I think you have to give tax breaks, just like they are, and we've already seen Chobani and all these others come here, and those are decent jobs in an area that is really hurting. But when you take it a step further, Kevin, why don't we just have it broadly instead of one-off the way it is now? Instead of one-off, do something like New York's doing, right? No taxes for 10 years. Well, that, you know what? That's meaningful to a new business. Why wouldn't I consider locating there? I would never have thought of New York as a place that was safe for business, right? Would be encouraging for business. But it is. And that's the message they're putting out. So I think that we're not going to run our state based on a zero tax bracket the way Texas is. We don't have oil. We don't have natural resources the way they do. So we're going to have to continue to have a tax. But if you're starting up a business, part of the encouragement to locate here would, in my mind, be a tax break for a meaningful period of time.
580 KIDO, Dave Petzl with us as we take a look at news about your money. Coming up after news, weather, and traffic, we'll talk a little bit about personal finance. But back to the state of the state, I'm trying to think of any other economic platforms. You have a lot of people and our friends, whether it's Idaho Steve Ackerman, whether it's Tea Party Bob, say that, yeah, we're getting jobs, but they're low-wage jobs. I totally understand that, but are those the only jobs available? I mean, how many times are you going to have a Toyota, a Mercedes, have these high-paying jobs? The fact that we've gotten these Chobanis and others to come here, I mean, is the pool saturated when it comes to these factories that are only going to pay so much?
No, we might find some saturation with that, but there are lots of jobs out there. My whole industry is dying for young people to come in and take the mantle, if you will, financial advice, because us old gray hairs, we're, another 20 years, we're going to be...
Another 20?
Yeah. Some less. I like what I do, so I'm probably going to do this till I'm dead, but sometime I will be dead, and somebody's going to need to take my place, and there's going to be others. But this is very, very hard to get started in, and I just don't see anybody knocking my door down to say I want to work my tail off and get going. And it is a difficult thing in our industry.
Yeah, but Dave Petzl, I'm waving at you off the air for those people following at home because our video stream is down. Let's face it, there are many people that are in your business, that want to get in your business, but few people do it for the right measures. I had a guy that was my neighbor in Pittsburgh. He was a young kid. He's a guy that actually negotiated down a widow who just lost her husband to buy a house. So that's the type of person this individual was. And actually, while my house was gone, hooked up electricity and jacked up my electric bill.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is the
nice type guy.
Of, right. So the last conversation I had with him, he was talking about getting into financial services, financial management, not to help people,
yep,
because it was good money.
That's right.
How do you balance that?
Well, Kevin, I'll probably get into some trouble here.
Well, you don't have to go there, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In general,
you can't legislate morality. We try. However, what we've ended up doing is creating a massive bureaucracy that is really without much teeth. But there are some simple things that they can do, and one of them, I get in trouble with this, but...
You don't have to go there. You could just say that you have to be certified.
You know what? I want to. It's a different venue. It's something that people should be aware of, that the state of Idaho literally does not protect its senior citizens on the insurance side. We have the poorest annuity regulations in the country. I don't even think we are like second worst to Mississippi or something like that. You know, isn't it Mississippi that's always like, you know, it's like, hey, we beat Mississippi. We can't even beat Mississippi on this, okay? It's just totally okay. And I think the thing that gets so frustrating for me is that they know that. They know that the rules are very, very lax, that they can have annuity products that shouldn't be allowed, and that they're very complicated and very complex. And when I say all this on the insurance side is to say that people mask themselves as a retirement income specialist, blah, 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 whatever. They even have initials to go with these things. It has reached a point where the certified financial planners of the country, CFPs, which is very legitimate, takes a long time license to get, very hard to get, a lot of study, has disallowed any of these other licenses to be out there and has its own set of rules and disclosures that must be met or you'll lose your CFP designation, because the state of Idaho is one of those states that just simply apparently doesn't really like senior citizens. They really don't care about them. I can't phrase it any other way. They apparently don't care because the product has no legitimate use other than profiteering for the insurance companies and certainly profiteering for the agents out there. Because, Kevin, there's a lot of people out there that have no interest at all, like you said, in delivering a really good price. I can't imagine that. But this industry, to me, I love it. I love working with people every day. It's something that just brings such a complete sense of purpose that I don't know why people would shortcut the way they do and not have this be what – I don't even work any day. I don't work.
More coming up from Dave Petzl, who doesn't work at 580 KIDO. Let's get to work safely.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Our friend Dave Petzl with us here. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So, Dave, how does one get rich?
With time. With time. Diligence.
You never get that question, do you?
Yeah. It's usually, come on, give me a hot tip. Yeah, come on. Come on. It's exactly not how people think it is. You don't find a hot investment and then it goes to the moon. That's a very, very rare occurrence. It's like winning the lottery. It's through entrepreneurship typically for most people, but for many of us, it's a process of investing with entrepreneurs, that is, in businesses, and compounding money over the years. It's actually very easy to do.
It's very easy to get
very
rich.
Very easy to get rich, yep. It is. Here's the problem, Kevin. People are not long-term investors. They may say it, but they're not. So they flit in and out of the market. They don't have the patience to wait out any rough patches, which are inevitable. Certain as the sun coming up and setting every day is the fact that we have market cycles and we have market setbacks. Also, through all of our lives, our ancestors' lives as well, the market continues to come back and grow. That's why I say it's easy, but it's hard. It's the easiest hard game in the world. Easy to do in the abstract. Hard to pull off in that if you want to go spend all your money on hobbies, in bars, on chicks and guys, whatever it is, you
Why are you looking at me and say when you say guys? What's that about? Just kidding. No, anyway.
If people do that and they don't put money away, there's nothing to invest in. If you aren't going to let the money compound for 20 or 30 years and flit it back and forth into different investments, then that's fine. So you're not going to either. But if you simply have, in our country's history, spent less than you brought in, put it away in investments, and I'm not talking about savings, I'm talking about the market, investing it, and you don't act like a cowboy, you do it with diligence regularly, put it away and keep it put away, you get rich. It's happened every single generation. Forever. It's absolutely crazy, and yet we want to reinvent the wheel. We want to come up with these equity index annuities. We want to, you know, because everybody's all scared. We want to talk about doing new trading programs and stop losses and all these things instead of just buying quality companies, putting them away, and keeping your hands off of them. Then you can become rich.
580 KIDO as we continue on there. You heard it here first. How to get rich from Dave Petzl, Petzl Financial, the Petzl Center. I have another question. I was thinking of you this weekend. I think of you a lot. I know that you share a lot of your off-air moments thinking of me and mm-hmm. the great times that we have here together. But I was driving down the road, and I was looking at all these homes that are for sale.
Right.
And I think in the last 2 or 3 years, we've seen some incredible growth, some incredible deals on housing in the Treasure Valley. And do you think that those days are gone because values are starting to reappreciate again? Mm-hmm. And I thought this would be a great question for Dave Pezzo here at 580KIDO when we're talking about the housing market. Value, value, value was great the past few years. You could get a home that was at one time valued at $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 for, you know, half of that or, you know, much less.
Right. Those values are gone, and that's healthy. It just says the market has not disintegrated, and it's come back, and the excess repossessions are off the market. So the market is a healthy, strong market, and I think value from I've got to buy a place. I want to have a place to live. Where interest rates are today, it's a decent value. But people, I don't know why people think that their home is an investment. It's a money pit.
It is a money pit, but you want to live in a nice place.
That's totally a lifestyle choice. Just don't tell me it's an investment choice.
Okay, but I mean, you know, and we've seen this before the market crashed, that people had these extravagant homes, you know. Again, before, I don't know what I was doing Sunday. Oh, I had to go take a rental car back, but I'm watching the preview of homes.
Yeah.
And you've got homes in Eagle and Star with the...
Oh, the Parade of Homes. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And Parade of Home number 5, and it's like there's this pond out there, and they go, right next to waterfront property. I go, well, it's a man-made lake. That's nice. I don't think if it's $400,000 or $500,000 nice.
Right, right.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, A, who's going to buy this? And then I hear from a lot of my friends in the mortgage industry that there are people coming in from mm-hmm. out of state with a lot of money.
Yep.
That are going to sit back and spend, spend, spend.
Yeah. It's a cheaper place to live. You can have a higher lifestyle here. Look, I have no problem with that if people can afford it. I have all kinds of problems with people who get into debt. And just what we were saying before, when you get into debt, this is the opposite. How to not ever get rich, right? Go get into too much debt. Yeah, buy too much house. Buy too much toys.
Yeah, but let's face it, at 580KIDO, it's like Vegas. It's like Reno. You know those places. You don't beat the house.
No.
You don't beat the house when you're financing. However, I think about this, and, you know, 10, 20 years from now, are we going to look back and go, gosh, there were some incredible deals on homes 10 years ago. Like we talk about in 07 when the unemployment rate here in Ada County was 2.5%.
Yep. That's right. It was just the opposite.
Right. It's right. Just amazing when I look at the homes, and I'm wondering, based on what you're seeing,
yep,
you know, where the houses, the prices are going up.
Kevin, I do. First of all, it's still the same story. You know, I moved here 35 years ago, and it was a sleepy little town of Boise, Idaho, and it really was pretty sleepy around here. But this is not sleepy anymore. It's a good-sized community, and it's exactly the kind of size that people like. It's got the best four-season climate. I've traveled a lot of places. I just know of none that has a better four-season climate. You know, and we don't have tornadoes and all those other things on top of it. So, and the people are flat nice.
People are
moving
you
here.
You get spoiled.
You do.
You get spoiled because when you go to the airport,
yep.
when you go somewhere else, you're like, hi, and they look at you. Who are you?
Yeah, you're a freak show. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, you know, but you have to understand that that people do want to come here. So when you have money, you can telecommute. You can do all those things, and maybe you want a mountain bike, and you pick up a magazine and say, what is that? Boise. It's always in there. It's Boise, 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 Boise. So finally you come here. You know some guys. They talk it up, and then all of a sudden you come here, and you find it's a magnificent place, and you move your one- or two-person shop or just you here, and you bring money, and that comes to the Valley because they've come from California. They can buy whatever they want around here for very, very cheap.
Dave, again,
don't buy too much.
Dave Pezzo, don't buy too much, and it's easy to get rich.
It is. It is. It's, you know, the principles are easy, but it's not a big enough book.
Let me
know.
Put it to you this way. We never say we're too busy for you. Well, there was that one time when I was with the Bundy Ranch. But no, you were on. I was even at the Bundy Ranch surrounded by men with guns.
Yep.
And we never, you know, we're not like your friends over there where you dress up.
That's
we're
right.
too busy for you today. Dave Pezzo, we'll catch
Kevin,
you Saturday.
Yeah, love it. Talk to you then.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Dave. 580 KIDO.
News.
You know, I could sit there and listen to Kevin Miller come on at 5. God bless you.
Kevin, stay fired up. We love you out there. We're glad you're there. We're glad you're doing a good job. And encourage Sean Hannity to move to Idaho.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. And you just keep them holstered. It's only me.
Let's get it started.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:42 coming up, Brian Smith will join us. Big debate last night with Congressman Simpson. And one of the big issues, and I saw the debate. Again, it was a tough call for me. It was either Game of Thrones or the debate. The debate actually, I think I had more action than the Game of Thrones. That's one big story that we'll talk about. And before that,
he's a good person, and he... What am I going to say? Has he done everything he can do to help minorities? I don't think so. But I'll say it, you know, he's great. But I just don't think he is a good example for the children of Los Angeles.
There you have it, Donald Sterling. That'll be on Anderson Cooper tonight. Must-see television, Donald Sterling, making a effort to get his team back before the NBA, the NCAA, Al Sharpton, Magic Johnson, and who knows who else makes a bid for him. Maybe Floyd Mayweather, maybe Oprah, who knows? That's one issue. You know, do we accept apologies in America Today? We did for Bill Clinton. Will we do that for Donald Sterling? However, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, one has to wonder the issue of amnesty, which was brought up last night at the big debate. And in Idaho, remember when Senator Jorgensen, remember Jorgie? He was running wild trying to get immigration reform through the state of Idaho, E-Verify. Now, I believe E-Verify is voluntary for state government here, but he wanted it for all businesses. And really, does illegal immigration hit us until we're out of work because of the illegals? And it's a big national debate. And we've heard Boehner and others say that the GOP needs to solve its problem. In fact, while we're talking to you, I've got several folks within the hierarchy nationally of the Republican Party that monitor this program from Washington, D.C., saying, Kevin, get off our backs on the illegals. And thankfully, we've had Mark Kerkorkian on from the Center of Immigration Studies. Why in the world would the Republican Party want to have this go through? It puts in play Texas. It pretty much says goodbye to New Mexico, goodbye to Colorado, goodbye to Arizona. The West is lost. Because if you legalize the 11 to 20 million people that are here illegally, it won't be limited to that. All of a sudden they vote. They're not going to vote for the let's cut the deficit, let's cut the social welfare net. They're going to vote to expand it, aren't they? It's a simple matter of economics. It's a simple matter of priorities. They've come from places where the people have no power. It's the government that has power, so they're going to empower it. But the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other big businesses have declared that they want an immigration deal. Now, what does this have to do with Idaho? As we first disclosed in the Washington Times, you have Congressman Labrador at the forefront on this issue. By Seth McLaughlin, Republican Representative Raul Labrador on Thursday offered a potential immigration deal to the White House, saying the GOP would agree to loosen penalties on illegal immigrants if President Obama would agree to increase visas for foreigners who work in high-tech fields. I personally do not believe that we need this. I personally do not believe that we need to loosen visas on high-tech workers. Based on our conversations with Mark Kerkorkian, where you have these folks that come to this country, they don't have the same rights as citizens. They're simply indentured servants to the high-tech giants, and they will do what they're told or otherwise they get shipped home. How is that fair? And we have a look at Cal Berkeley, look at UCLA, look at all these other schools in this country. Look at Stanford, look at Pepperdine, look at Harvard. I do not believe that we do not have enough qualified engineers in this country. that we need to import high-tech workers. I don't believe it. And I don't believe that legalizing a bunch of folks that are on the low-end wage is going to help us solve our economic problem. It's going to help the Democratic Party. Why would the Republican Party want to do this? To the man who continues to serve out his suspension with a smile, Tea Party Bob with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO.
It's just terrible being on suspension, but I have looked at that job in Cody, Wyoming.
You are on double secret suspension and probation, and the Cody, Wyoming job is still open. They're looking for somebody for the next 30 to 50 years.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they give me my lifespan and they give me another 30 years, I'll go there.
Look, hey, with the way technology's going, you could be a cyborg Tea Party Bob.
Yeah, sure, that's right. I could have every one of my limbs would be artificial. Then it'd give me an artificial brain. You know, when you're talking about this immigration policy, it just kind of hit me in the wrong place. But I remember when Microsoft hired a whole bunch of people, moved the plant up actually into Vancouver, rather than put it into the Redmond area, because they said they couldn't get the people that they needed to work in the plant from the employees that we had here in the United States. I think what it comes down to in a lot of cases, and this was said by your friend that was on the air talking about immigration, that they don't want to pay the people here. If they can get them cheaper, they will definitely do that. It's not so much that we don't have the experienced people. There might be a shortage of them, but if you want them, you can pay for them, you can get them. And I think that's what it really comes down to. I don't want us to wind up like Los Angeles. You know, 40% of the workers in L.A. County that has 10.2 million people are working for cash and not paying taxes. Now, that's pretty bad. 75% of the people on the most wanted list in Los Angeles are illegal aliens. When you look at the problems that they have in these states where you have all the illegal aliens, I don't understand why we don't want to close our borders first and then take a look at how we're going to talk about any kind of amnesty or any kind of a deal to allow anybody to come in here. You know, the migrant worker program, fine, okay, you do that every year. We've been doing it for years. Seems to be working okay. Although I do know that most of the companies here in Idaho, they'd like to even get cheaper labor than what they have. Well, how cheap do you get it? What are they going to do, start hiring the Chinese next? We've got the highest amount of minimum wage jobs in this country, or should I say second highest amount. What do they want us to do? Work for nothing? This is just getting a little ridiculous.
And when we don't, they're going to bring in other people who will.
Well, that's true, and that's the problem. And somebody's got to say, hey, no, enough. Enough is enough. Let's stop it. Close the borders. Let's start deporting these people we should be deporting.
Well, let me hit you with this here at 580 KIDO. Why is the Republican Party doing this?
You know, there's a lot of reasons, and I think a lot of it has to do with trying to get, or that what they think is to get that voter faction back on their side, or try to look like they are trying to be amicable in fixing the system. You know, they had the right attitude when they brought forth the last idea of closing the borders. If you don't close the borders, you're going to have the same immigration problem take place in another 10 years, and then in another 10 years. We have such open borders that it's pathetic. I mean, it's like a piece of cheesecloth. And everybody's small enough to pass through. I just don't see how we're going to solve the problem by giving everybody amnesty or even giving 25% of the people amnesty. Close the borders first, then let's take a look at it. Now, I certainly don't think we're going to see any changes in immigration policy until we see a new president in office.
Well, here's the thing.
Senate.
Right. At 580 KIDO, final thought, we don't enforce, as you said, we don't enforce the laws we have.
No, we don't. And that's the shame of it, because the new head of the DHS is going to even loosen those laws up more, and we're not going to have as many deportations as we had before. You know, they take the rules and they bend them and change them to the way they want them to work. If that doesn't stop, we're never going to get on a footing where we can actually stop the flow of immigrants into the United States.
Tea Party Bob, thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right. 580 KIDO, 751. Let's get you to work safely.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll hear from Brian Smith, his thoughts on the debate, his thoughts on the election, and what's at stake, number one. Number two, we go to Bob in an email here. Kevin, I have emailed my congressman, Labrador, 50 times in the last year. Every time comprehensive immigration reform rears its ugly head, I give Labrador my thoughts. Secure the border first and take a year to see if it's working. Then and only then discuss immigration policy. The Republicans are trying to steal defeat from the jaws of victory. They are in a position to own all three branches of government after 2014 and 2016. If they enact immigration reform now, they will never have a Republican president again. And the Republican Party might as well fold up their tent, because the conservatives in the party would leave and it would be over. And that is Bob in Boise. Bob, I agree with you on that. And we'll talk more about that coming up and get your thoughts as we move along. I don't know why all of a sudden we have Speaker Boehner and others urging a deal to happen. In fact, Congressman Simpson last night on the big debate said that a deal is inevitable, I believe. 758, 580-KIDO, the idea of solving the problem. Well, why don't we solve the problem by actually enforcing the laws that we have? If not, let's just get rid of the speed limit. Let's get you to work safely and on time. And coming up, we're going to have this big drawing here. Dave Burnett wanted to make sure that we do this for the Pink Dogwood, a survivor tree, courtesy of our friends at Far West Landscape and Garden Center. We want to thank them for sponsoring us for the Race for the Cure team, and certainly for all of, 11,000 folks that came out and supported the Race for the Cure. Thank you. And coming up, we'll have that survivor tree drawing. A pink dogwood could be yours if you signed up over the weekend. We'll have that for you coming up. Fox News on the radio is next on your home for Fox News here in the Treasure Valley. And Kay Millie, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Serving Meridian.